just once again. I long to feel His presence.
I'm glad I want in the heavenly land. I met a cleansing from the fountain.
My soul was hungry.
My soul was hungry. I have been shaking.
I've been washed
in the blood of the Lamb.
How oft I cried when far would catch a glimpse of Calvary, remembering nights down on my knees in prayer. I cried, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Please take me now, God.
Answers prayer. Sing it, church. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He's coming soon. Sing again, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Sing it, church. God is so good. He's so good to amen. Praise the Lord. It's great singing this morning. Thank you, choir. And thank you, church. Again, it's great, great to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. And I know I say this every time I stand, but I believe I have a word from the Lord for us. And I pray that the Lord just speak through us what we all need to hear today. If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn with me to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. And we'll look in chapter number 6 of the book of Joshua this morning. I want to read the first 5 verses. And we're going to look at a few other verses, but for our text this morning, we'll look at the first 5 verses from the book of Joshua. And the Bible said, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war." Notice that. "Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And on the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." Now, did you catch that? Doesn't it seem a little odd if you go back and you read those verses? Notice that it says that we've got men of war. We got soldiers with armor. We've got soldiers, no doubt, with swords and shields. But notice it says that the soldiers are in the back of the line. And the priest, or if you will, the praisers, are going to be sent first. The praisers are going to be in the front. So we noticed here that it's not going to be the regular battle. Because normally, you would send in the soldiers, right? If you want to win a battle, you're going to send the warriors in. So it's not a regular battle because you wouldn't normally bring a trumpet to a battle. So again, you've got the ones with the swords and the shields in the back, and the priests with the trumpets in the front. Seems a little odd, doesn't it? And he says, march around the wall once a day for 6 days. And the 7th day, you're going to march around it 7 times. Can you imagine what that must have been like? The first day wouldn't be so bad, because we're just following directions. And we got everybody all together, and the priests are in the front, and the warriors are in the back. We won't take the time to walk all the way around the church this morning. But they would have made a round around the walls of the city of Jericho once. Next day, probably same thing. They all got together. The priest got the ram's horn, and they're walking around. We got all the warriors in the back, and they walk around. Second day, probably don't seem so out of sorts. But by the third day, don't you know that they're a lot like us, and they're probably thinking, ain't nothing happened yet. How many times are we going to have to do that? And somebody says, don't you remember what he said? He said, for 6 days, Johnny, we're going to walk around the city one time. Again, we're not killing ourselves here, right? And on the sixth day, they said, all right, there we did it. Now, tomorrow. Now, one time, I don't know about you, but one time might get us a little winded. I don't know how big that city was. But now we've come, Brother Don, to the seventh day. If we're just going to follow instructions, Jeff, he said, we're going to march now seven times around the city. If you go through and you'll read those verses, there was some more instruction. Because he said, I don't want to hear a peep out of you. I don't want any shouting. I don't want any talking. I don't want anything going on. We're about to march. Now again, you get around there the first time, all right. Second time, hey, those of us that stay a little too long at the table might already be starting to get a little winded. About the third or the fourth time, by now we're probably doing a lot like we would normally do, and we'd start murmuring. And we'd start complaining. And we'd be saying, hey, why in the world do we have the priest up here in the front? If we're going to win this battle, maybe we need to make some changes here. Because we're fixing to have to go into some kind of a war and some kind of a battle, and the praisers are in the front with their trumpets, the ram's horn. I imagine by the sixth time they're thinking, I don't see it happening. But he said on the seventh time, on the seventh day, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but he said, you're going to sound the trumpet. He didn't say, warriors come around the priest, get them out of the way, we're going in for battle. He said, no, we're going to sound the trumpet, and we're going to what? Shout. There's a lot to be said about that, and I want to try and not get too far ahead nor too far behind myself. One more thing we need to notice. The instrument is a ram's horn. It's not a trumpet made of silver or gold, but it's a ram's horn. A ram's horn. The trumpet, the ram's horn, has been extracted from the head of the ram. Maybe cut off, maybe broken off. And do you know that, I'm just going to throw this out there for you. The horn has been cut and blood has been shed. I don't know about you, but I remember a particular case in the Word where Jesus himself shed his blood. And I'm glad I'm washed this morning in the blood of the Lamb. There's a lot to be said about that. But notice with me, if you will, turn back in the Bible where we were, chapter number 6, and let's look ahead a little bit more into verse number 17, if you will. And again, you need to go back and you need to read all these verses. And it's a great, great story of what took place there at Jericho. But in verse number 17, I want you to notice this. And it says, and the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Notice this. Why in the world they put this right here in the middle of these verses of Scripture? You know what it says? It says, only Rahab the harlot. I won't get into that a whole lot, but you would take that in our normal, everyday vocabulary and say, only Rahab the hooker. Only Rahab the prostitute. I mean, let's just be honest, call it what it is. That's exactly what it was, wasn't it? Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house. Notice this. Because she hid the messengers that were sent. Because she hid the messengers that were sent. I'm going to leave all that stuff about the harlot out, and we won't get into that a great deal. But here it says, the only one that I'm going to save is the only one, let's think about it, if we had a situation to where Rahab came into the church, hello? If we had a situation where we knew of a young lady that came in and she was practicing like Rahab, it would be the one person that we, the church, would condemn, would we not? But God said, the Lord said, I'm going to save one and her household, and that is Rahab. We need to be quick to stop and say, hey, you remember the verses of Scripture that said, let he that is without sin cast the first stone. And the Lord said, I'm going to save Rahab and her household. But it would be the one that you and I would condemn. We're quick to condemn. We're quick to judge. You know I'm right. Now, I'm not endorsing her profession, don't get me wrong. But in spite of her mistakes, in spite of her failures, in spite of her flaws, she messed around and did one thing right. And the Lord said, I'm going to help her because she helped me. Now, the truth of the matter is that there are some folks in this very room who've messed up. I would say, Paul said, I feel like I'm the chief among sinners. That's me. Brother Harold said, no, that's me. There's not a one of us that would stand up and say, you know what? I have no sin. Because there would be one right there. I don't do those kind of things. We look at other people and say, boy, I'd never do that. Be careful what you say. Every one of us in this very room this morning would say, you know what? I've got my faults. All kinds of blemishes in my life. I look over, back over my life, Brother Don, and there's a whole lot of things that I am ashamed of. A whole lot of things, a lot of faults, a lot of blemishes. We all have secrets. You say, no, I don't have no secrets. Oh, but I bet we do. We've all got some kind of skeletons, we call it, in the closet. Things that we wouldn't want everybody to know and everybody to see. Let's be real honest this morning. If we drop that big old screen up there and said, this morning what we're going to do for the service is we're going to allow everyone to see Brother Allen's sins. And we're going to let everyone in the building see what Brother Allen has done down through the years. Is there anyone else that would rather take my place? You know what? If that was the kind of service we was having this morning, every one of us would evacuate quickly. It looked like a fire in here, and we'd be gone. Because none of us, not one, would want to say, you know what? Go ahead and show my life. Mm-mm. Am I right, Chuck? No way. You see? There's not one of us who would want our lives to be broadcasted to everyone, for everyone to see. But God, I love that. But God, in all of His love, He reached down and He took me out of the miry clay and He placed me on the solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ. As just a teenage boy, He said, you know what? You're a mess. But I messed around, Brother Don, and I did one thing right. And I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me. And I'm glad to know that I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And all of us this morning, catch this, all of us this morning are in the same boat. We all, if we've accepted the Lord as our Savior, we are all just sinners saved by His marvelous grace. Hallelujah right there. Amen. All of us are just sinners who messed around and done one thing right. We've been to Calvary. And I don't mean Calvary the church. I mean Calvary the hill. Amen. And I'm glad to know this morning that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And I'm so glad this morning that I've been to Calvary the hill. The blood has been applied to my heart and to my life, and it has to yours as well. You've accepted the Lord as your Savior. What can wash away my sin? Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Let's do that again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. What can make me whole again? Start up the bus and we'll go around everywhere and tell everybody this story. Amen. Oh, I'm glad to know that I've been washed in the blood. So therefore, because of that, we have been changed. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Yeah. Look at verse number 19. It says, but all the silver and all the gold, all the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Down through the years, Amanda and CJ being very involved as house parents in the children's home, and they have served there, they've helped there down through the years. You know CJ's story and what a blessing they are, not only to our church, but to our family. That's my girl. And I'm thankful for them. I love them. I know you do as well. And I thank you for loving on my family down through the years. I could never thank you enough for loving on my family down through the years. But there's been a lot of times that Amanda would come in, especially when they were house parents at the children's home. She'd come in and I'd say, honey, that sure is a pretty dress. And she would say this, Amanda, what would you say? Did you hear that? She said, it came in. I'd say, boy, I'm some sharp looking shoes Jackson's got on this morning. And she'd say, it came in. Yeah. There's been a lot of time down through the years that it came in. At Thanksgiving, Amanda came in. She came in. But they got out of the van that morning. And there's Thanksgiving, our house is like, whew. I mean, it's a mess. Everybody coming and going from everywhere. And we got food I mean, it's a mess. It's a great time, but it's a mess. She got out of the van that morning. I noticed something, and I got sidetracked some way or another. Again, didn't get a chance to tell her. But later on that afternoon, Terry said she had just hugged Amanda around the neck. And she said, "Smell this." I said, "Oh, I know that smell. I smelled it when she got out of the van this morning. That smells, I mean, it just smells so lovely." And she said, "It came in." So they get all kind of stuff into the storehouse, if you will, over at the children's home. Amen. And they've had an opportunity even since then to go by a lot of times. And Brother Brian will say, "Hey, go out there and check it out because it came in." And what a blessing that's been. Look with me at one more verse. Now, he has just said, all these things shall come into the treasury of the Lord. It came in. But in verse number 20, it says, "So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down." What's that next word? Huh. We'll come back to that. "So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." Amen? They took the city. I want to bring you this morning just a thought. We live in a world full of walls, much like the wall around the city of Jericho. They were obedient. And because of their obedience, because the sound of the horn, and because of the shout, because they were obedient to march, the walls fell flat. I don't mean there was just enough room just to climb over, just to be able to get in and take the things of the city. Oh, look at that. I almost stepped on that Christmas tree. But it says that the walls were flat. Hey, when God does something, remember what I told you, I guess it was last Sunday morning before that, that me and Terry had been talking about some things, and she said, "Boy, look at the Lord. He is showing out." Hey, when God does something, he does it in a big way. Amen? And the walls fell flat. Oh, I'm thankful for that. I want you to think with me. I'm going to do like Brother Snyder. In closing, you know, I get four of those, all right? But I want you to think with me just for a few minutes. I want you to think with me for a moment about Brother Snyder's message from last Sunday morning. There are two things that resonate in my mind and in my heart. Was it last Sunday morning, Brother Snyder? Believe so. Hey, after retirement, the days just run together. I don't know what day's next, you know? Two things that resonate in my mind and in my heart. Number one was a statement that he made. When he said, now that he had gotten down into the, if you didn't hear it, I'm going to give you a couple of snippets that you'll want to take home with you. He had gotten down into the meat, and he was sharing his heart with the church, Calvary. And he said this: "We may have to present ourselves as a new church plant, and stop worrying about the way things used to be." Did you catch that? We may have to look at ourselves as a new church plant. And he said, "I am so tired of hearing." Unfortunately, a lot of these things that he's hearing might have came from me. And we've talked about it a lot down through the years. We've talked about it a lot. "I'm tired of hearing the way things used to be." And I love it to think about the way things used to be. I loved a statement that I heard years ago. Believe it. It was said and it was true. Someone said to me, Brother Allen, if we have two more people to join that choir, we're going to have to drag out some more chairs because there's nowhere to put them. And we did. When I first started going here, hang with me. It's the things that Brother Snyder hates, but hang with me. When I first started going here, we had these wooden chairs up here, and they would fold down for you to sit in them, sometimes with splinters. But we would fold those chairs down and sit. And Brother Snyder always said, be careful when y'all get up and don't let that chair go pow. Because if they all pow at the same time, everybody's going to be running out of the building. Sound like gunshots going off. And then we rearranged the choir because there was no more room in the inn, if you will. So we brought all of these beautiful chairs. And it was to the point, Jeff, that we were going to have to drag out some more chairs if we had anybody else to join the choir. And I know, and I've told you, and I've shared with you the jubilees that we've had here, the great times that we have had here. And now, Brother Snyder says, we may have to, if we are going to survive, we may have to look at this thing as a new church plant and stop worrying about the way it used to be. Hear me this morning. There's people here that have been here longer than I have. Brother Ceylon, Brother Johnny, maybe Brother Don. Yes, that's exactly right. And that's where I was going. Because there were men and women that built this church. They built these pews. They built the sanctuary. They could go through the history, and you owe it to yourself to get with one of them and let them explain to you how things used to be. But when we came along 30 years ago, Brother Johnny, 30 years I've been coming here. Somebody asked me the other day, where do you go to church? And I said, I go to Calvary Baptist Church in Powder Springs. And they said, and you live where? I said, I live off Highway 5 in Douglasville, Winston. And they said, and you drive all the way over? I said, I have driven all the way over here. Brother Johnny lives further than me. Him and Miss Pat live off Post Road out there. And they have been driving here all these years. How many churches, Brother Johnny, do you think we pass between Post Road and Powder Springs? See, Lon, how many churches do you pass between Kennesaw? Amanda and CJ drive every Sunday morning, and they stay here all day. I would venture to tell you, there are folks that have been here longer than I have, but they would be hard-pressed to find anyone that would love this church anymore in all the years that I have served and worshiped more than myself. And here's one of the reasons why. My children were saved here. Now my grandchildren have been saved here, Jeff. We have experienced true Holy Ghost-filled worship together. You talking about in these verses where it said, and they shouted. Hey, shouting would scare some of y'all to death. But I've experienced it. Glenda, I have heard people through the Holy Spirit shout in this place to a holy God because of what He has done for them. My children were saved here. We've experienced true Holy Ghost-filled worship here. But Brother Snyder and I have talked and prayed, and we have both said, but those times ain't coming back. I don't mean to bust your bubble this morning. Those times very well may not come back. But Lord, if you could just, we live in a world full of walls. Lord, if you could just tear down some walls here this morning. Tear down some walls here at Calvary. In the first part of that scripture that I read, the Lord had already said, the city's yours. I've already given it to you. It's a gift to you. Now it's only wrapped with a wall. It's going to be up to you to be able to open the gift that I've given. They did that. They shouted. The walls fell down flat. Lord, we're asking you this morning if you would tear down this wall. We've had great times here at Calvary. Hear me this morning. We've had great times here at Calvary, but we are a great group of people, but we have a great God, but we have had great influence in the past in this community, but we have all fought some great battles, and there's been some down through the years, some great battles, but we all have our scars to prove it. We've got some warriors in this building. Scars to prove it, Brother Harold. I went this week for a little interview. I'll be going to work for the city of Douglasville for a couple of days. They found out I was retired, and here they came. And I had a little interview this week, and I had to go over and get my fingerprints done, my picture taken. And he's looking at my driver's license from 8 years ago when I had it, because it was time to renew it. That's the first thing I had to do before I went for the interview, is get my new driver's license. But I had that old driver's license in my pocket, and I handed it to him. It was on my birthday, December 3rd. You're welcome. I didn't have to throw that out there anyway. And he said, huh, looking at this, the last time you got your driver's license renewed, it said you had brown hair. It ain't that funny. I said, brother, what ain't turning gray is turning loose. He said, yeah, I noticed that by the picture. Give me the driver's license and move on. It is true. But hey, you don't get gray hair without warfare. It might be from raising four children, I don't know, but we all have been in the battle. We all have been through warfare. We all live in a world full of walls. But Lord, please tear down this wall. Lord, please help us not to be so distracted from the past, hear me, that you can't use us for the future. Do you hear me? Please help us not to be so distracted from the past that you can't use us for the future. I heard someone say not too long ago that they had been up to Martha's Vineyard. I don't know anything about Martha's Vineyard, only the little bit that I have read and that I've heard about it. And they said that they were driving through and they noticed something about it, that the driving down the road, that the roads were very narrow. Anybody ever been to Martha's Vineyard? I have no clue. You been there? The roads, they say, are very narrow. And here's what, so he decided to stop and ask someone. And he said, why in the world are the roads so narrow? He said, because we don't build, or we didn't build roads for cars, but we built roads for horses and buggies. When cars came along, it was too late and we didn't have the capacity to be able to expand. Listen, sometimes we are so caught up in trying to go back that we fail to transition to remain relevant. We live, would you agree with me, that we live in an ever-changing world? If we don't realize that, then we are way in the past. But we live in an ever-changing world. But I would say this. I would never, ever say that we need to compromise this word. Never do we need to compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. But can I be honest with you just for a few minutes? This will be my second closing, if you will. I just want to share with you my heart. I know that I am not your pastor. But I promise you this. I never step behind this pulpit without asking the Lord for a message for this hour. And I believe that the deacons trust me enough to allow me the opportunity to stand and to share God's word. And you do, church. And I am so thankful for every opportunity. But I want to share my heart with you this morning. It might be my last time, but I want to share my heart with you. So hear my heart. We've all heard this over and over and over, so it's not something that's new. If we continue to do the same old things, the same old ways, we will continue to get the same results. Look around, church. Take a second. Go ahead. Look around. Someone once said this: people who hate change often get left behind. For the most part, none of us like change. I mean, let's face it. We just don't. We don't like change. Why? Because it draws us out of our comfort zone. I mean, we're all comfortable to come in this morning and we sit in the same place that we always sit. Hey, me and my family sat on the same pew for 30 years. So we get comfortable, Chuck, to come here. And we don't want change because change makes us feel uncomfortable. Because it draws us out of our comfort zone. Now, number two thing that Brother Snyder said that resonates again in my heart and in my mind is in the form of a question. You may remember it. Again, you've looked around. You kind of saw where we are and what we have. And he said this. And when he said it, I thought, really? You gotta hit me with that? He said, are you okay with just being okay? Remember that? You know, we hear a lot of messages, and sometimes we don't remember a word by the time we get to the car, we done forgot. That might be because of our age. It might be because, you know, the enemy does everything to distract us from, I wonder if I turned off the stove this morning. I wonder if I turned off the coffee pot. I wonder what I'm going to do for lunch. I wonder what I'm going to do with this week with this great schedule that I have before me. The enemy does everything he can to captivate us in a church service. But every now and then, Brother Snyder said this, every now and then you'll hear something and it'll be like, whoop, what was that? The Lord gets our attention and He's trying to tell us something. He's trying to tell us something. Are you okay with just being okay? I got in the car last Sunday morning, I thought, no, I am not okay with just being okay. I'm not okay, I didn't count this morning, but I'm not okay with coming in with 8 people in the choir. I'm just being honest. That's my heart. I'm not okay with it. And sometimes on Sunday evenings, we have so few for the choir that we just don't come up here and embarrass ourselves and have 3 to try and lead. So we'll just all, the whole church will just be the choir. I'm not okay with looking out and having 11 people on a Sunday evening for church. 11. And one of those was me 2 weeks ago. You say, boy, this is encouraging. But sometimes we just have to stop and let God speak. Stand still and let God move. I'm not okay with not having a pastor. We can't just continue to go through the motions. Now, we have, don't think, well, uh-oh, Brother Allen, he's coming down on everybody. I am not. We've all talked, we've all prayed, and we're just giving our church, ourself, and every who the Lord has for us out there just a little bit of time. Think it was needful. But I'm not okay with not having a pastor. We can't just continue to go through the motions. Oh, we can. We have been. But if we continue to do the same old things, the same old ways, we will continue to get the same results. And I walked out of here last Sunday. And honestly, I said, wow, boy, that stings. The question is, and Brother Snyder left us with the question, didn't he? Are you okay with just being okay? Here's what really hit me. I thought, if you come in with the question, you forgot one thing, leave us with the answers. You say, you got the answers, Brother Allen? Well, no. I have some ideas. And I have, every one of us have some ideas, don't we? And all of us have some opinions. Why we do this and why we do that? What are we going to do? When are we going to get a pastor? How come we don't have that many people in the choir? Why are people not coming? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? I honestly believe I know one answer, and it's found on my knees. But you know what? I don't need to be like the rest of that bunch that said, she's a harlot. We could go a lot farther if Brother Don would do this. Boy, if Brother Ceylon would do this in his Sunday school class, it could make a difference. If Brother Allen would spend a lot more time with those 5 people up there, we could do a lot more with this choir. I think, first, he said, let's just use the word. That's a good place to start, isn't it? If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves. Do you want to be humbled by God? No, not me. Not me. And pray. Step one, I think you got to realize whether or not you are called by Him. Can you name the name of Christ? He is my Savior. That's step one. Number two, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God. And number three, pray. And we can go on. There's more to that verse. But that's a good starting point, isn't it? So I think one of the answers, and yes, there's a lot of things. We all have opinions. We all have ideas. I have mine. You have yours. But I think if maybe, Brother Randy, if you're back there, if you'll just start us a little bit of music back there. Church, would you stand with me this morning? I didn't come in here to bash you, and especially to those that are visiting with us today. I just came in because I believe this is what the Lord would have, and I want to try my best. You've given me the opportunity to stand and to share His Word. I want to try my best to follow after Him. And I want it to be to where visitors can come in and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. And they can feel like, hey, that's a church that I'd like to get involved in because they're following hard after God. You want to come? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you want to come and pray this morning, you feel free to come. If you need someone to pray with you, we are here for you. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you want to see God do something in this church? I don't know what or how to do it, but He does. Lord, You know our heart this morning. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity for allowing this old preacher to stand and share with the people that I love. This is my family, Lord. It's my extended family. We, Lord, have been through the battle. Lord, we want to see You do great things. We may have to make some changes. And Lord, You know what they are way, way better than I do. But Lord, help us to have an open heart and an open mind and a receptive ear when You speak to us. When You draw us, Lord, help us to know that's the Holy Spirit right there nudging me to do something. Lord, help us to follow hard after You, Lord. Lord, I thank You for these that have come this morning. Lord, for those that may be praying in their seat this morning, Lord, I pray that You would just hear our heart. Lord, we're just coming home to You this morning. Coming home to You. Lord, would You do a work in this place better than You've done in times past? Lord, I know You're able. Lord, help us. Give us direction and guidance and help us to follow hard after You. Lord, we love You, praise You, and thank You. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your sweet Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for an opportunity to know that we have been born again and that You have a work for us. Use us, Lord. Use this church and this community. Give us direction and guidance. We'll praise You and we'll thank You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. He died for you and He died for me.
Lord, I'm coming home. Coming.
Sing that.
Home. Coming home. Never more to open wide thine.
Thank you, Brother Randy. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for the opportunity. Please don't think, well, he came in here to bash us this morning. It's not that at all. You see, who got hit with it first? But it resonates in my mind and in my heart. If we're okay with just okay, we can just keep on going. But let's not just be okay. That's just not good enough. Thank you. I love you. Turn to someone, especially our visitors. Let them know you are glad to have them here at Calvary today. Ladies, don't forget about downstairs, your Christmas get-together. I love you. Please pray for us. And you can consider yourself dismissed. Don't forget about Behold Our God. On the 19th, on Friday, you'll want to go over to the children's home. The time and the date and everything is there. 6:30 p.m., December the 19th. Don't miss it. Be there. Thank you. You're dismissed.